Fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young. Welcome to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. It's the eighth day of action at the International Football Festival in Russia. In Thursday's first match, Denmark and Australia drew 1-1 in Samara, Russia. The Danes got on the scoreboard first in the seventh minute on a goal by 26-year-old Tottenham Hotspur man Christian Eriksen. In the 38th minute, the Socceroos of Australia equalized on a penalty shot from Mile Jedinak, which came after review by the video assistant referee, or VAR. And here are a couple of fun World Cup facts about Jedinak and Eriksen for our VOA listeners. The 33-year-old Jedinak is based in England with the club Aston Villa. He's the first player to captain Australia at two FIFA World Cups. He also wore the captain's armband at Brazil 2014. And Christian Eriksen, then 18 years old, was the youngest player at the 2010 World Cup in South Africa. Denmark now tops Group C with 4 points from two matches. Australia has 1 point from two games. France is playing Peru in the second Group C match on Thursday in Yekaterinburg, Russia. And joining me now to talk about that game is Prince Nesta. Sporty World Cup greetings, Prince.
Hey there, Sonny. Interesting updates. Right now, it's still 1-0. Of course, a goal scored by Kylian Mbappe, who actually, through that goal, became the youngest ever goal scorer in a World Cup or European Championship. Originally, that record was actually set by David Trezeguet, a goal he scored against Saudi Arabia. And of course, France are very disciplined in this particular match. And they are organized, you know, their midfield maestro, Paul Pogba, is really pulling strings together for the team. And one fact that will actually excite you is that the last South American team to actually beat France at a World Cup was Argentina in 1978.
Now, Prince, some pundits picked the French to lift the trophy next month in Moscow. What do you think of the title aspirations of the French?
Yeah, as time progresses, as you know, as I watched them in the first match. It was kind of a fluke when they scored the second goal. I've watched them in this particular match. They look pretty solid, but it's still too early to call. I mean, the other good teams that I'm sure are going to play well. For instance, Mexico is a team that I see personally is going to, you know, have a surprise, pull a surprise and win this World Cup, maybe. But I see France, Mexico, Portugal being three of the top teams as far as performance is concerned in this particular World Cup.
Right now, it looks if the French can hold that lead over Peru that they will be in the knockout stage.
Absolutely, because they'll actually top the pool with 6 points and they'll only be remaining with one match. But the good thing about World Cup is that after you win two games, then you're good to go.
Right now, we're in the 75th minute in Ekaterinburg, Russia. France won on that goal by Kylian Mbappe. Peru, nil. The Socceroos of Australia, with only 1 point, will now have a tough road to advance out of the group stage. They face a must-win situation against Peru on June 26th in their final group match to have any chance. Before the draw against Denmark, Australian fan Kat Gagan talked about the possibility of reaching the World Cup's knockout stage.
Reaching the last 16 would be an amazing experience. We've only done it once before, and you know we went out in one of the last minutes in that game. So if we can get it through again, it would really raise football's, you know, presence in Australia and get us all behind the boys, which would be a really good thing to do.
Kat talks about the Aussies reaching the last 16 only once before. That was at the 2006 World Cup in Germany, where the Socceroos were edged by Italy 1-0 on a late penalty kick by Francesco Totti. The Italians went on to lift the World Cup for a fourth time in Germany, But 12 years later, Italy did not qualify for this World Cup in Russia. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now with more World Cup news is my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson.
Mexico, Peru, Colombia y Argentina, Uruguay, Brasil, Costa Rica y...
The World Cup is in full swing. Fans from across the globe continue to arrive in Russia, many visiting for the first time. They're making long journeys from South America, Africa, and Asia. Many Russians say the fans have already transformed their home cities. Moscow has become a global mosaic of celebration. The streets around the Kremlin, heavily guarded and snowbound for much of the year, have been transformed with Latin passion and African rhythm. These fans are from Colombia, Egypt, and Mexico.
Everything is new for us. It's new culture, it's new language, and it's very difficult the communication, but we are very excited.
And the people are very nice, and it looks very nice.
We are all united, Americans, Europeans, Asians, everyone united.
The locals have not seen anything like it.
Everybody is so friendly to each other. This is an atmosphere of festivity. It's an extraordinary event, much cooler than New Year.
Some have traveled to Russia even though their own countries have not qualified, like 12-year-old Abdul Jabbar from Sudan.
Hello, we are here in Moscow. The weather is wonderful.
Nigerians living in Russia put on a welcoming party for their traveling supporters.
We are going to win the cup. I'm optimistic.
The party to the fullest. Experience what it means by bringing all Nigerians together. They like grooving.
And there are thousands of World Cup volunteers on hand to help visitors, like Spanish-speaking Yulia, eager to ensure it's a smooth tournament.
There are no impossible situations. You just have to calm down for a second, think, and solve.
Pensar y resolver.
The World Cup is a festival of global cultures as well as football, but diversity is not always welcomed. World Cup organizer FIFA fined Russia's football union $30,000 last month after its fans aimed racist chants at black players in a match against France, an amount labeled pitiful by anti-racism campaigners. Pierre Apouar is head of the Anti-Racism Fair Network.
We see far-right nationalists active inside football stadiums. We see overt acts of racism that have been displayed inside stadiums quite rife. So Russian football, for many people, has been a no-go area.
Aziz Kamara migrated to St. Petersburg from the African nation of Mali and plays for local football team FC Maxima. He believes fans have little to fear.
Before I came to Russia, I heard a lot of people talking about racism here. They were telling me this is still a very closed country and a hard one to live in. When I came here, I saw that's the opposite. I was welcomed here.
British lawmakers have warned fans against overt displays of the English flag, fearing an echo of the violence between English and Russian fans in France back in 2016. Authorities warn they will not tolerate racism or hooliganism, and most Russians say they're looking forward to welcoming so many different cultures to their country.
And let's put our hands together for that spicy World Cup report by my Voice of America colleague, Jim Stevenson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us once again from Russia's capital, Moscow, is Samson Omale, our Daybreak Africa sportsman. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening, Sonny, and welcome to day 8 of our special coverage of the 2018 World Cup here in Russia. Morocco became the second African country after Egypt to exit the 2018 FIFA World Cup, losing 1-0 to Portugal. It took Cristiano Ronaldo only 4 minutes to make his mark on the game after diving to get on the end of a Joao Moutinho's cross and planting an unstoppable header into the net. Morocco showed determination while creating several chances which they failed to convert. Some Moroccan journalists covering the soccer fiesta were full of praises for the way the Atlas Lions played when I asked them what their impressions are concerning the match.
I think if you see the two matches, we know that Morocco didn't deserve to go out from the group stage. We have a better team than Iran, we have a better team than Portugal, maybe without Cristiano Ronaldo. But I think experience talk today. I think the VAR too. VAR didn't work today. I don't know why.
We don't have very good player in attack. We don't have nine. We don't have number nine. We have good players in defender, in Ziyech, but we don't have number nine. Because national team Morocco merit going to second tower.
For Portugal defender Jose Fonte, he told me after the match that Morocco was indeed a difficult side to beat.
Obviously not completely happy with the performance and the way we played, but having said that, we're not playing against any weak team. Everyone in the World Cup have quality. Morocco has quality players, and they made it very hard. They were fighting for their lives. You know, sometimes you have to give credit to the opposition. Having said that, we can do better, and we will work hard in the training ground to do better, because the quality that we have in the squad we have to do better. But we won the game. You know, we should be happy with the win.
No African teams were involved in actions on Thursday, but attention will now shift to Volgograd on Friday, when Nigeria will meet Iceland in a match that will determine their future at the 2018 FIFA World Cup. Coach Gernot Rohr, who has come under severe criticism as a result of his tactical approach to the game against Croatia, took time off to explain the choice of his players and formation, indicating that he is willing to make adjustments to get a positive result against the Icelanders.
There was Etebo playing number 6, doing very well. There was Ndidi also playing number 6, doing very well. Perhaps he wants us to play with 3 number 6. It is polemic. I don't enter in this game. We won our games, all the games since I'm in Nigeria, since 2 years, with Obi Mikel in this offensive position. He's giving decisive passes. Remember, against Cameroon, we won 4-0. It was exactly the same organization. So if we had played with Mikel as a number 6 and another one number 10 and we lost the game, you would ask the same question: why you change now and you make him play number 6? You won all the games with him number 10. So it's normal you are searching for some reasons. And there's again with the media, the polemics with coaches who are now pundits for the World Cup. But we know what we have to do, I think. And the players and me agree exactly before each game about our organization.
Some Super Eagles players like Odion Ighalo and Wilfred Ndidi have been speaking on the all-important game against Croatia.
We are not really happy about the loss. We are working very hard towards the next game, and hopefully we're going to do what we know how to do best and make the fans happy back again.
The fact that we are the one playing the game, we are also Nigerians. We are also disappointed with the result, so I understand the fact that everyone is disappointed.
In the meantime, reports just coming in say one of the most experienced players in the Iceland team, Johan Berg Gudmundsson, may not start a game with Nigeria because of injury he picked up in the last game. Gudmundsson, who plays for Burnley in England's Premier League, has 65 caps for Iceland and is a key part of the team's fast counter-attacking style. But he was substituted with an injury midway through the second half of Iceland's impressive 1-1 draw with twice world champions Argentina on Saturday. I am Samson O'Malley in Moscow, Russia. It's back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. 5-time World Cup champion Brazil is making sure everyone knows Neymar is perfectly healthy at Russia 2018. A day after he limped out of training and raised more doubts about his physical condition in Russia, the Brazilian Football Federation was quick to tell the world the team's biggest star is just fine. Brazil had a closed practice session on Wednesday 2 days before its next World Cup match against Costa Rica in St. Petersburg, Russia. But the Federation posted photos and a video of Neymar in action in training with the rest of the squad in Sochi. And I'm sure many of our VOA World Cup fans remember Sochi was the host city of the 2014 Winter Olympics. In a Twitter post, the Brazilian Football Federation wrote, and I quote, "Brazil practicing and Neymar participating normally in the team's activity." And one of the photos showed Neymar touching the ball with his injured right ankle. Later on its website, the Brazilian Football Federation said, "Neymar practiced the whole time. He showed confidence and participated actively during the whole session." Joining us once again here in the studio is Prince Nesta. Prince, why do you think the Brazilians are taking such an active social media campaign to promote Neymar's health?
I think it's basically to hide their ooze, you know, like it was a dismal performance when Brazil played in their last match and they actually drew against Switzerland. And I think it's sort of a PR strategy, you know, to come out against blazing to promote Neymar and, you know, the whole Brazilian team and stuff like that.
Right.
Just to cover up, you know, some of the dismal performance that they had in their last match. And I think Brazil actually has to wait up, considering the fact that they have a big support as far as the African continent is concerned. I mean, apart from, for instance, in Kenya, apart from African teams, Brazil has like the biggest, you know, largest fan base as far as support is concerned.
That's right.
So Brazil really has to put itself together, put its act together, and come out gun blazing in the next match.
And right now we're in the 89th minute in Ekaterinburg, Russia, France holding on to that 1-0 lead against Peru on a goal by Kylian Mbappe. What do you think of the French? You think they'll hold on to that lead, Prince?
I think so. Because if you look at the way they're playing right now, seems like they're headed for a victory. I mean, Peru is a team that should not be underestimated, and anything can happen in football. But if you look at the technical abilities of France, if you look at their skills right now, and the experience just shows itself. I mean, they have Antoine Griezmann, Paul Pogba, N'Golo Kante is actually doing well in the midfield. And I think they might really, because of the experience and, you know, the exposure that they have in their team, they might actually hold on to this victory.
Prince, the World Cup effect, it continues to unify the many fans all across Russia and billions of viewers across the globe, many of whom are in Africa, as the best footballers in the world battle it out to be crowned World Cup champion. Zahir Kassim tells us how Africans have set aside their differences to support all the teams from the continent.
It is Saturday night at the bar, and South Africans have been treated to a special weekend with exciting rugby and soccer games taking place back to back. For rugby fans, the Springbok rugby jersey is a clear indication of who you support. But for soccer fans, it does not really matter what shirt you wear, as long as you are backing an African team.
So I'm supporting Nigeria because it's obvious, it's an African country, we need to boost them, you know. Let's go white and green.
Even though the South African soccer team failed to qualify for this year's World Cup, many fans of the game feel that any African win is a win for the continent. In recent years, South Africa has seen several xenophobic attacks on foreign communities. But events like the World Cup help people realize that they are part of a community, explains analyst Kelebogile Lipele from the Institute of Race Relations.
I think it's a lot to ask from just a game of match to, you know, to bring people together. But at the same time, we can look at it in the sense that a sporting event or the game itself is, you know, requires a team. You know, it requires people to coordinate the event. It requires people to coordinate the, you know, for team players to communicate. So I would say proper communication from team members would be something that as people, as citizens, we look at, you know, depending on each other, realizing what each person plays, you know, in the team, the role that every member of the citizen plays.
Back at the bar, Nigeria struggles to put up much of an attack as they fall short against a talented Croatia team. But fans try to stay optimistic.
They're going to win the World Cup. Well, it'd be nice if an African would, like, team won. But, yeah, I'll probably be Belgium.
One loss does not mean an exit yet. And with lots more soccer to come, there's still a chance an African team can win the World Cup or the continent. Zahir Kassim for VOA, Johannesburg, South Africa.
Thanks, Zahir. Prince, we heard Zahir mention how the Nigerian Super Eagles didn't put up much of an attack in their opening match against Croatia. Do you think we're going to see more of some bite from the Super Eagles on Friday against Iceland?
Are they the Super Eagles or Super Chicken?
Oh! I know in Lagos and Abuja they don't want to hear that, Prince.
Yeah, and one thing you need to know is that they actually failed to progress. They have failed to progress from the group stage on the previous occasions that they lost their opening game. So that's bad news for the Nigerians. But I mean, they really need a win as far as this next match is concerned, considering the fact that they are yet to meet Argentina. You know, Argentina is a tough team. It's one of the favorites for this tournament. And of course, one of the things that you also need to know is that all of five Nigerians' wins at the World Cup have come against European sides.
Interesting. Yeah, okay.
So
okay.
We hope that they can defeat Iceland in this particular match. And it's interesting because, you know, Iceland is a small country, one of the underdogs in this competition, if you ask me. But they managed a draw against Argentina. So Nigerians should put their act together. We don't want to see or watch, the dismal performance they had in their last match. And we want them to attack. They should be on the attacking mode right from the word go.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Right now in Ekaterinburg, Russia, we're in the closing minutes of play. France holding on to a 1-0 lead against Peru. The goal for the French came from Kylian Mbappe in the 34th minute. In Thursday's opening match, Denmark and Australia drew 1-1 in Samara, Russia. The Danish goal came from 26-year-old Tottenham Hotspur man Christian Eriksen in the 7th minute. And then about 30 minutes later, the Socceroos of Australia equalized on a penalty shot from Mile Jedinak, the captain of the Aussies. Interestingly, that penalty shot came after review by the video assistant referee being used for the first time at a World Cup. And Prince, I think that VAR technology starting to heat up a little bit in Russia.
It's always good when it favors you, you know. Like when technology favors you, that's when, you know, the teams will come out in the press conferences and say, you know, we love the technology and stuff like that. But when it goes against you, then it's always causes problems and stuff like that. But I mean, it's an interesting technology. It's good because, you know, they've used it in basketball before and it always works. I love that about it. But because there have been some World Cups where some teams should have won, but, you know, they failed to win because either someone scored on the offside and the goal was allowed, or, you know, someone scored a clear goal and the goal was disallowed. And so it's a very interesting technology, and I feel it's a really great thing for this tournament.
If you're just tuning in now to the Voice of America, final score from Ekaterinburg, Russia, France 1, Peru 0. France's goal came from Kylian Mbappe in the 34th minute. In Thursday's opening match, Denmark and Australia drew 1-1 in Samara, Russia. And that wraps up a special June 21st World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Prince Nesta. Thanks, Prince.
Thanks, honey.
Thanks also to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. And more thanks to VOA engineer Wojciech Zorniak. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Synthetic drugs like fentanyl and its analogs are chemically produced substances, and they can be exceptionally deadly. A very small amount of synthetic opioids goes a very long way, so overdosing on these substances is quite frequent. Criminal traffickers are exploiting the reality that the profit margin for synthetic drugs is high, in large part because they can easily be shipped to customers who order through the Internet. This is a new component to the world drug problem, said Deputy Assistant Secretary for International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Affairs James Walsh at the recent G7 Plus expert group meeting on the subject. Traffickers have developed new synthetic drugs that can mirror every major type of drug. These mirror images are not controlled within the international framework and therefore allow traffickers to evade law enforcement detection. Indeed, there are over 800 known new psychoactive substances, known by the acronym NPS, and more are created every week. A great many of these are synthetic drugs. NPS have no known medical use, yet they are not controlled internationally. That's because the international community currently has the capacity to place just 10 to 12 NPS a year under international control. It is clear that our responses have to be more innovative, more nimble, and more adaptable if we want to outpace these criminals, said Mr. Walsh. If our shared objective is to enhance international control of synthetic drugs, then we must collectively prioritize efforts to provide the World Health Organization, or WHO, with more data to inform its scientific reviews that assess a substance's abuse potential and harms associated with its use. We should begin by using already existing information-sharing platforms, such as those supported by the UN Office of Drugs and Crime, the International Narcotics Control Board, or WHO. We are all vulnerable. Anyone with an Internet connection and access to international mail or express delivery service could be the next target. So we must be resolute in our efforts to effectively respond to this new threat, said Mr. Walsh. Tomorrow, a new synthetic drug may well be the trafficker's first choice, and our strategic responses must be nimble enough to adapt to curb tomorrow's drug crisis. That is the challenge we need to start solving today, and it is one of the most difficult problems we've faced in our efforts to address and counter the world drug problem.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Sporty greetings to all our VOA listeners. This is Sonny Young, host of The Sunny Side of Sports.
We will rock you.
Please join me at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC, Monday through Friday, for special World Cup updates during the month-long football festival in Russia. Right here on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.